Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to this scripture, sermon, and prayer for Sunday, October 31st, 2021, the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. Our opening sentences in prayer are inspired by Psalm 119. Happy are those who walk in the way of the Lord, who seek God with their whole heart. Oh, that my ways might be faithful to your ways, O Lord, with my eyes fixed on your commandments. Then my praise will be born of righteousness, and I will never be forsaken. Let us worship God. Amen. Gracious God, you have not left us alone. Your justice and mercy are known to us, providing a way in which to walk. May we choose your way and by it find peace, not only for ourselves, but for all your creatures. So teach us, O Lord, and we will learn. Guide us, and we will follow. Your word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. Amen. Our scripture lesson for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 28 to 34. This reading finds us during the last week of Jesus' life as he is engaged in various disputes, arguments with the religious leaders. Listen carefully for the word of God. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' The scribe said to Jesus, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any question." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I have the feeling, or at least I like to imagine, the words were delivered in a kindly fashion, with a smile rather than a stern gaze, intended to encourage rather than critique. When Jesus said to the scribe, "You're not far from the kingdom of God," the late Eugene Peterson, in his Message version of the New Testament, translated it this way, "You're almost there, right on the border of God's kingdom." God's kingdom was then, and rightly understood is now, the place where anyone would want to be. The condition of peace, well-being within and between people. Where relationships are perhaps not perfect, but healthy and mutually supported. Where cooperation rather than conflict is valued. Where potentially divisive differences are respected and celebrated. Such were and still are the marks of the kingdom of God. Jesus spent plenty of time talking about it. In fact, Mark summarizes Jesus' message simply as the good news of the kingdom. Jesus painted verbal pictures of it, often through parables, such as, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who plants seed. which despite all kinds of difficulties, bears much fruit, and which, though small at the start, grows into a great plant, providing food, shade, and shelter for all sorts of creatures. Or the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field, right under our feet, if we would devote ourselves to uncovering it. Jesus not only spent time talking about God's kingdom, even more living it, demonstrating it, gathering among his disciples people from widely different backgrounds, feeding literally and figuratively the multitude who heard hope in his message, welcoming, even touching people whom others rejected and despised because of who they were, where they came from, or the circumstances of their lives. On this particular occasion, however, Jesus glimpsed someone near God's kingdom. And in a rather unlikely moment at that, it was the last week of Jesus' life. His public days were filled with ongoing arguments with public leaders who disagreed, who actively opposed his understanding and practice of faith. And it would soon become apparent just how vehement was that opposition. Yet, it was in an encounter with one of those leaders, a scribe, that the glimpse of the kingdom occurred. Started ordinarily enough with an almost daily question, what is the most important thing? Such questions were usually intended to trap Jesus rather than enlighten the questioner. And they were questions to which Jesus had a regular, dare I say, well-rehearsed response from the scripture. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Any good Jew knew the answer to that question. From times past, Jesus must have anticipated a quick deflection or some equally well-rehearsed rebuttal, but instead the scribe replied, "Yes, teacher, loving God and loving neighbors is the most important thing, much more important than all the ritual of our temples and sanctuaries." And that from a keeper of that very religious establishment. I like to imagine that the scribe's words could have stopped Jesus in his tracks, prompting him to rethink his comeback or his anticipated comeback, instead simply saying, "You're almost there. You're on the threshold of God's kingdom." What a wonderful moment it must have been. If not for the scribe, then at least for Jesus, perhaps, in the midst of all that was happening around, and I expect within him, to catch a glimpse of someone not far from the kingdom. Might such glimpses be available to us as well? I recall a very public instance a couple years back, which impressed itself upon me then and still today, an instance which I might describe as not far from the kingdom of God. The occasion was unlikely as it followed a very public act of hate-filled violence, as you might recall it, the attack upon the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, in which a number of worshipers were killed and injured. Though several hundred miles away from Lexington, of course, and the days that followed, one of our local auditoriums was filled with 1,000 or so people from all walks of life and religious traditions, civic and political leaders, coming together in solidarity not only with our Jewish neighbors in Pittsburgh, but nearby, as well as with in solidarity with anyone who might fear being the target of such violence. I remember on that occasion the chief of police stepping to the podium and discussing not law and order, but love. I remember the mayor stepping to the podium and describing a city and how any city must be a place where people can live and work and play and, yes, worship in safety. I remember a leader of the Hindu community describing how all of us, whoever we were, wherever we were from, were and are embodiments of God. And I remember the Catholic bishop the time, stepping to the podium and reminding Christians in the audience of how Jesus worshiped in a synagogue on Sabbath mornings and thus could have been among the worshipers in danger that day. And then finally, the rabbi of our local temple standing to describe how persons could help regardless of what their particular tradition or background might be. I have a feeling, had a feeling then and still do, or at least I like to imagine that if Jesus had been present that evening incognito in one of those persons or in among the crowd seated or standing along the wall, might have had the feeling this is close to the kingdom of God, this gathering, if only for a moment. God's kingdom, of course, is not only glimpsed in large public gatherings, but also in personal encounters, private moments, whenever someone, anyone, thinks or speaks or acts in ways that reveal authentic love for God and love for neighbor. I suppose this morning it's my responsibility to charge you with the call to go out and demonstrate such love for God and neighbor in your thoughts, words, and actions, to provide glimpses of God's kingdom, and I'm happy to do so. But more in the spirit of this morning's text, I might invite you, invite us to go out, especially in the midst of all that is happening in our world today, in our nation, and perhaps in your own life, and simply watch for that person, watch for those people, watch for those occasions through whom you glimpse at least a nearness to the kingdom of God. I'm not sure you want to say it to them, but you might want to think it. You're close. You're right on the doorstep. And perhaps then find some appropriate way to celebrate or encouraging those whom you witness, even as he, she, or they have encouraged you. As we mentioned earlier in this morning's service, today is Reformation Sunday, an occasion to recall those people and events that gave rise to the so-called Protestant traditions of Christianity. It was and is ambiguous in many ways, that is, the Reformation, but not without its positive themes and outcomes. Among them, the need to cut through all the stuff we add to religion, including ceremony, theology, and bureaucracy, and take hold of that which is essential. Today's text is a reminder of the essential, the primary, to love God with all one's heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. Whatever else we might do, religiously speaking, if we proclaim this, and even more if we do this, we will not be far from the kingdom of God. And from that spot, we can trust God's grace to take us the rest of the way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we approach our prayers for the day, I might invite you to take a moment and gather your hopes, your dreams, your thoughts, your fears, your celebrations, and thanksgivings. You may wish to pause the recording to do that, and then we'll speak our prayers together. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Which is the first commandment of the law? To love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, O Lord, may we love you with all our heart, opening ourselves to your kindness, your mercy, and your justice, that we might grow into the image of your servant Jesus. May we love you with all our soul, allowing ourselves to experience awe and wonder, cultivating within us humility and reverence that honors you, your creation, and ourselves. May we love you with all our mind, exploring the universe you have created, learning how to use our knowledge wisely, distinguishing truth from falsehood. May we love you with all our strength, devoting our energy and ability to that which builds and strengthens the peaceable kingdom which you intend for all creation and its creatures. And the second commandment is like it, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So, O Lord, may we understand that there is no separation between loving you and loving the one standing next to us. May we treat our neighbor in the same way as we would hope to be treated, with kindness, mercy, justice. And thus may we too be found close to your kingdom. All this we pray in Christ's name and spirit, even as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen.